Sir, we are so glad that you guys can make it out today. We're so grateful that you could be here. Romans 11 gives us this beautiful, beautiful image of God and just how big he is and how worthy he is to be praised. Hear these words from Romans 11. It says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Oh, who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him and all things to him be the glory forever. Amen." This is why we are gathered here today. Why don't you just take a moment and stand up and say hi to the people around you.
Please join us in singing "This Is Amazing Grace."
Sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. The nations with truth and justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place. I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you will. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Built on nothing less than
than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord.
Just a few announcements for you. Just want to let you remind you that this week, Wednesday, is our next West End Wednesday for GEMS, cadets, our clubs for boys and girls, Bible studies, and we also have a community dinner this Wednesday at 5:30. The dinner is going to be turkey and mashed potatoes. So this is just kind of like your practice run for Thanksgiving that's coming up shortly. So we'd like to have you come join us at 5:30 on Wednesday for that. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we are having a Thanksgiving Day service. And as part of that, we'd like to have a video that we'd like to put together of just you guys sharing what you're thankful for this year. So if you guys could just take your phones, do a quick video clip at some point today or tomorrow, and just send it to us this week, that would be great. So we'd love to start working on that early this week if we could. So if you could just go home today, just take a quick video of you and your family just sharing what you're thankful for and send it to the church. Send it to worship@westendcrc.org or just get it to the office some way or another. We'd deeply appreciate that. And then along with Thanksgiving, you know, if you're going to show up to a Thanksgiving meal, it makes sense to bring with you a pie. And so we are making that very simple for you to do that. The youth group is selling pies, and we are going to make those this upcoming Saturday. The pies can be frozen, so they can be used both for Thanksgiving, and then you buy extras for Christmas as well. So please submit those orders in as early this week as you can. We'll keep taking them, and we'll keep making them, but if we can at least get a pretty solid head count by Monday or Tuesday, that would be great. And then on Saturday, we're going to be making pies, and it really just takes a village. Jane Vandepaul keeps us very well organized and telling us exactly what to do. But if you are available on Saturday to just kind of help out some students and myself make some pies, we'll be here from 9 o'clock until usually about 1 o'clock is when we wrap up. So if you are available and willing to help out for a little while. And then I also need another freezer. So if anyone's got a freezer sitting in their garage or their basement that you can do without for a few days, let me know. I'd be happy to swing by and pick that up, and we can just store some extra pies in there. So, and if you ordered pies, you can pick those up anytime on Saturday morning from 9 to 12. Otherwise, we'll just store them in our freezers. If I get extra freezers, and we can, you can pick them up at church on Sunday. So with that, kids, you are dismissed for your time of children's worship. So kids, you can head on out, make your way to the basement. Our offerings today are going to be for the boxes are in the back of the church. As you leave the sanctuary, you'll notice boxes there. The first offering is for the ministries of this church. And the second offering today is for Christian education and just our church's desire to support families who want to send their kids to a Christian day school. Visitors, welcome. We're just so grateful that you have decided to come check out West End. Whether you're visiting just to see family or friends, or whether you're just out looking at different churches, we just want to thank you for coming out today. There are visitor cards in the pews. We'd really appreciate it if you could just let us know that you're here and let us know who you are. And then after church, if you take that over to the Welcome Center over there, someone will be there to take that card, and then they'll hand you a little welcome bag. And so, turn in a card, get a gift. It's a pretty good deal. So we're just grateful that you are here. And before we step into a time of prayer, just one update. Christy Van Kuyken met with her surgeon on Thursday afternoon, and she got great news. There's no signs of cancer in her lymph nodes, and as far as they're concerned, she is cancer-free, and they don't anticipate doing any more treatments. They're just going to monitor closely and keep an eye on her. Every 6 months, they'll probably do some more scans and tests, but we are just so grateful for that great news. And she was looking to head back to Africa probably around December 7, December 8. So very exciting news for her. So with that, let's go before God in prayer. Dear gracious God, even seeing the snow and the new season that just seems to show up overnight is a reminder of your faithfulness. That just as much as we can plan on the seasons changing, as much as we can plan on a new sunrise occurring tomorrow morning, that is a reminder of your faithfulness and just the way that you are able to sustain our world and sustain us. So God, no matter what season that we find ourselves in, whether it is a season of joy or a season of uncertainty, that you are God. So God, we put our faith in you and we put our trust in you. Whatever it is that we find ourselves in today, whatever it is that we bring in with us into worship, whatever is deep on our heart today, God, we just give you praise knowing that you know. So God, we just pray you'll meet us in these moments. Whether it is something that we are struggling with our health, something that's new or something that's upcoming, or whether it's something that's just been there and continues to linger and just seems to be our new normal. God, we just put our faith in you and just ask that you will sustain us, carry us, and comfort us every step of this journey. Dear Father in heaven, we just rejoice with the news that Christy got about her cancer. We're so grateful that surgery alone was enough to take care of this, and yet, God, we know that through all the medical advances that we have, we also know that you are the one that is in charge. It is through you that she is healed, and it is because of your great love and grace that she is able to return to normal life here soon. God, we give you praise. We just want to say thank you from the absolute bottom of our heart for hearing our prayers and hearing our cries. God, we just make that our prayer for anyone else that is facing recoveries or facing sickness or facing illness. God, we just pray that you'll step in and that you'll just, your hand of grace and healing will be upon them. Grant them relief. Grant them comfort. grant them healing. God, we also pray that for our country and for our communities and for those around us. There just seems to be so much animosity, and there seems to be so much division everywhere we go, and it doesn't seem to take much to get people flaring up on different sides of an opinion. And so, God, we just ask that your grace will prevail. We share the same prayer that Jesus shared, that we will be one just as you were one. We make it our prayer, God, that there will be unity here in our world. We pray that there will be peace both in our world and in our lives. God, we have been shown so much love and grace, and we just ask that we will be able to be instruments to also show love and grace wherever we go and whoever we encounter. God, we thank you for all that you do. We thank you for the way that you love, and we thank you for the opportunity to just open up your word of Scripture here today. May we recognize that this is your living word. May we remember that your spirit is alive, and may you just touch our hearts today so that we can continue to nurture a relationship with you. Lord, we make this our prayer in the power of the risen name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
All right, thanks, Brian. Good morning, West End family. All right, it's good to be together, isn't it? Like this? And to worship together. There's so many good things going on. I listen to all those announcements. I go, this is awesome. There's food, there's fellowship, there's all kinds of stuff. And I hope that we just can all lean in together to this community and just be encouraged by our life together. So thanks for coming this morning and being here. So we're going to be continuing our series here on prayer today, and then next week, and then, believe it or not, Advent is upon us. So prayer today, prayer next Sunday, and then we'll head into Advent. It's okay. God is here. His spirit is present. And we're worshiping together. So as I said, prayer today, prayer next week. Then it's Advent. And we're going to lead us into Christmas. So the title of today's message is Ask and You Will Receive. Isn't that an awesome promise, everybody? Ask and you will receive. So Jesus made that promise to his disciples. He makes that promise to us, his people. Ask and you will receive. So has it ever happened for you? Have you ever just, you know, prayed and asked? And maybe fervently, right? Maybe desperately, because it's something really significant in your life, and you prayed and prayed, or maybe you just prayed for something sort of ordinary in your life, but you prayed and prayed, right? And then God listened. And then God answered you, and then he provided for you, and he sort of gave you exactly what you asked. That ever happened for you? It's happened for me. It has. And I bet you if we had time this morning, we could probably go around with a microphone, right, and all take turns and share about a time when God helped you, or God healed you, or God provided for you, or God guided you. You asked, and you received. But let's be honest this morning, shall we? Haven't there also been other times, like when you prayed and asked, and maybe it was really desperate and really fervent, and you prayed over that thing, or just ordinary things, you prayed and prayed and prayed, and then you didn't get it? Has that ever happened? That's happened for me too, right? So what went wrong in those times? Did we not pray right? You know, did we not pray with enough faith or something? You know, I know that there's a lot of, you know, sort of spiritually minded people out there, and they kind of think, well, you know, you just didn't pray according to God's will. You know, that just didn't really just fit into God's will. All right. But if God's going to sort of carry out his will anyway, remind me again why we pray in the first place? boy, there's a lot of mystery around this, isn't there? There's a lot of questions around this. You know, because we all obviously believe in prayer, right? We like prayer. We want to pray. We have prayed. We hope to continue to pray, right? And we believe in this really good and gracious, loving Heavenly Father who cares about us and wants to provide for us and is out for our best and well-being. But what do we do about this business of ask and sometimes receive, and ask and sometimes not receive? Well, we need to talk about that today, don't we? And we really need to listen to Jesus. So we're going to do that. The main passage that we're going to use this morning to get us started is in Matthew chapter 7. This is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this is a text where Jesus made this promise. He said, ask and you will receive. So let's listen to Jesus today, think about this together, and allow His Spirit to work on our hearts and minds in this business of prayer. So let me invite you, as always, to stand where you are. Oops. There we go. And let's honor God as we hear His word for us this morning. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. You can sit down. So, starting with Jesus' teaching here, I want to talk this morning about five things. I know, five things. It'll be okay. It'll be fast. Sort of, I want to talk about five principles of asking. Okay? So, five principles for when we ask God in prayer. Are you ready? I'm not sure you are. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. Here we go. Five principles for asking. Oh, I have the first one already. It's already up there. There we go. You already got it. What's the first one? Ask with boldness, everybody. Ask with boldness. So in the passage that we just read, obviously I just explained that Jesus, this is from his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is gathered on this hillside. There's a large crowd of people there. They're all listening to him, and Jesus is teaching. And in this little section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about a lot of things, but here he's kind of talking about prayer. But he directs his words here, I think, directly at the parents in the audience. He appeals to them, and he basically says, look, parents, think about it. If your son asks you for a piece of bread, would you give him a rock? Or if your daughter comes to you and she asks you for a piece of fish, would you give her a snake? And some of the parents are thinking, well, kind of depends how much of a brat my kid has been recently. Maybe serve him right. I don't know. But of course not, right? Parents are thinking, I love my kids. Of course, if my children came to me and asked for something and I had it in my power to give it to them, well, of course I'm going to give it to them. I want to give it to them. And so Jesus says, well, here's my point. If you guys love giving good gifts to your kids, even though you're evil, what? Why does he call them evil? I mean, is he really kind of referring to them as devilish parents? Well, no. Listen, this is one of those rhetorical devices where Jesus kind of uses it to make a really strong point. He's not calling these parents evil in the absolute sense. He's calling them evil in kind of a comparative sense. You know, compared to the perfect character of God, compared to the perfect love of God. This is one of those how much more sayings. How much more? We human beings, as parents, of course, we're all tainted. We've got mixed motives. We've got selfishness inside of us. We're sort of a mix of good and evil. We are evil. Not the whole truth about us, but it's part of the truth. And so Jesus is saying, look, even though you parents who are far from perfect, but you still love giving good things to your kids, can't you see how much more a good and loving and perfect Heavenly Father would love to give good gifts to His kids too? And see, if we really believe that, if we really make that part of our lives, then we're going to ask God boldly, aren't we? We're His kids. And we're going to ask Him boldly for the stuff that we want and things that we need. In fact, it's really interesting to me. Listen, Jesus didn't just tell us to ask boldly. He taught us to ask with a boldness that borders on annoying. Here's what I mean. There's this passage in Luke chapter 11, and here it is. And this is, listen to this. This is what Jesus said. They said, then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are already in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, and here's Jesus repeats, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open to them. Wow, is anybody kind of taken aback about that as I am? That Jesus is saying that we should come to God with shameless audacity. Some of the other translations say, you know, come with persistence, come with tenacity. I think the New Yiddish translation says, come with chutzpah. You know, I'm just going to keep asking and asking and asking and pounding on the door. And we don't have time to read this other passage, but I refer you to another passage very similar to this in Luke chapter 18. Maybe you want to jot that down and then come back to that and read that later in the day. But this is the story of a widow who is seeking justice from a corrupt judge. And she goes to this judge, and the judge won't give her what she's asking for. And so this widow, with kind of shameless audacity and persistence, she keeps going to him and knocking on the door, and she leaves messages on his answering machine, and she texts him in the middle of the night until finally the judge gives her what she wants because he's so annoyed and he just wants it to stop. That's another one of those how much more kind of sayings, right? How much more? If this corrupt judge can give this widow what she wants, how much more will a loving, perfect Heavenly Father give us what we want? And so Jesus says, pray like that, boldly, persistently, with shameless audacity. You know, we ought to be so comfortable in our relationship with God as His children, right? Think of the most perfect parent-child relationship, right? We should be so confident in the goodness of our Heavenly Father that we just come to Him with boldness and persistence. And if we don't get an answer the first time, just keep pounding on the door and pounding on the door and keep asking Him. You could probably share stories, right? Like this in your own life, when you prayed and you did that, you know, and lost things got found. Sick people that you prayed for seem to heal way faster than the medical prognosis. Doors that you thought had been closed for a really long time all of a sudden opened up. Times when you asked with boldness and it happened. I'm telling you, our Father loves to give good gifts to His children. Ask Him. Ask Him with boldness and don't be ashamed. All right. So at the same time, as we ask with boldness, we should also, secondly, ask with humility. Ask with humility. Now wait, is that even possible? Is it possible to be bold and humble at the same time? Well, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? But I think it's possible. So why humility? Well, just think about who it is that we're praying to, right? Who it is that we're addressing. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? The holiness of God, that He is so holy and so weighty and His significance fills the whole world. And when we understand that, I think we approach Him and come to Him with an appropriate fear of God. So partly it's just humbling, realizing this one that we're addressing. That's humbling. But specifically, I think we pray humbly because we realize that our desires, the stuff that we pray for, arises out of our very limited perspective on the world, right? Isaiah 55, we should all memorize this passage right here, right? Isaiah says, speaking about God, speaking here about Himself, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Wow, that means it doesn't matter how educated you are, doesn't matter how many times you read the Bible, our perspective on life is really limited, isn't it? We only see a little sliver of what's going on, and yet God sees everything. He's kind of looking down from 30,000 feet, and He sees everything. He sees what's going on in your family, and my family, and that other city, and that other country, and all those things. He sees the past, the present, the future. And so sometimes, right, I bring a request to God, and because of what I can see, I think it's a really good thing, right? I think God ought to give it to me because that's what I see, and I think it makes total sense. It's something that I should have. And yet God denies my request because in His perfect wisdom, He sees things that I can't see. As usual, Tim Keller expresses this really well. He said, "God will give us what we ask or give us what we would have asked if we knew everything He knows." Don't you love that? God will either give us what we ask or He'll give us what we would have asked Him if we knew everything that He knows on that. You know, I just think of some of the stuff that I've prayed for over the years, you know, going back. And I've prayed for jobs that I should get, opportunities that I should have, things that ought to come my way, and they didn't happen. It didn't happen. And now I realize that God saw more than I did. He had something else for me. He had something maybe better for me. He had something different for me. But I didn't know that at the time. I think of requests that I made, that I prayed for, you know, in college, that certain girls that I wanted to date would say yes to me. They said no. I know. Inexplicably, they said no. And now I realize that God had somebody for me. And I can't imagine, right, being with anybody else for the rest of my life. And I didn't understand that at the time. And I'm sure glad that God was in charge. I think of injuries that I've had over the years, right? That I prayed to God, "Heal me really fast. I want to get back on my feet. I want to get going. I want to do the stuff I want to do." And those injuries healed really slowly. And in some cases, they're still not healed. And I got aches all over. And I realize that maybe God is in the process of teaching me compassion For other people who are kind of going through the same thing or maybe even worse than I'm going through, God is teaching me patience, teaching me to focus on things that last and not just things that are temporary. But I didn't realize all that stuff while I was praying. So, you know, in each of those cases, was, you know, as I brought that request to God, you know, was God listening to me? Well, yeah. He's a loving Heavenly Father who wants the best for me. Absolutely. You know, but in each case, He did not give me what I asked for because He just knows a lot more stuff than I do. Which kind of brings up an interesting question, though, right? Is there ever a time to kind of stop knocking? Right? Is there ever a time where you kind of just, you know, I got to stop asking here. It's time to stop praying for this thing. Well, come with me to 1 Corinthians 12. This is the Apostle Paul. And he's talking here. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Wow, this is the Apostle Paul. Are y'all with me? And Paul asked and asked and asked until it became very clear to Paul that God's answer to him on this was no. And so he stopped asking. So is there a principle there? I mean, like, you know, you can pray exactly 3 times for something, and then if it doesn't happen, you got to stop. Like, you only get 3 wishes. No, of course not. We can't read that kind of thing into it. You know, we can always come to God with a request, always. But sometimes in the wisdom that God gives us, listen, sometimes it's time to stop focusing on what God is taking away from us or what God doesn't seem to want to give us in that time and maybe think about how God can use this denial as a powerful thing. How God can leverage this no in our lives so that we can be a blessing and to other people and represent Him a little bit better. There's such wisdom and maturity in that, I think. So ask with boldness, but then realize that, you know, God sees a whole lot more than you do. And so mix in some humility into your prayer. Now, of course, Jesus demonstrated this better than anybody who's ever lived, right? Remember when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He prayed desperately. He prayed fervently. He prayed so hard that there were he sweat drops of blood because he knew where he was going. He was going to the cross, and that was going to be painful, and that was going to be agonizing. And in his humanness, he did not like that idea at all. And so he cried out in this classic prayer, right? God, Father, may this cup be taken from me. Let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. I beg you. Man, what a bold request that is, right? I don't want to do it. But then in the very next breath, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, God. Man, a bold request. But ultimately, Lord, I want to submit to your will. It's not about me. It's about you. So, ask with boldness and ask with humility, okay? And then a third thing here is that we can ask with dependence. Ask with dependence. Have you ever had this happen, right? You're praying, you know, you're all ready to pray and you kind of sit down to pray and after about 2 minutes in your prayer, you cannot think of another single thing to say. You ever have that happen? I mean, it's actually quite common, right? You just kind of run out of words and you don't know what to say anymore. So next time that happens to you, open up your Bible and read Romans 8, 26 and 27. Listen, it says, in the same way, the Spirit The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Man, what an awesome concept that is, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit of God, who resides in each one of us and every believer, is actually present in our prayers, praying right alongside with us, interceding between us and the Father. I know there's a lot of mystery in that. I can't completely explain that to y'all. But I think it shows up in a couple of ways, right? Sometimes when this happens, I think we're absolutely clueless to what's going on, right? So, you know, you show up one morning and you decide you're going to pray for your son, right? I'm going to pray for my son. God, I pray for my son today. God, you know, bless him. And meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is over here going, no, God, here's what he's really saying. What he's really saying is that, you know, his son is going to face this really serious temptation today. He's fallen before, and what he really wants to pray is, God, would you be with his son? Would you empower his son? Would you bless his son? Would you give him the power to resist that temptation and walk with you today in joy? And over here you're going, bless my son, amen. And you walk away and you go, man, that was a lame prayer. And the Holy Spirit's going, no, that was a great prayer. You showed up and mentioned your son, and the Holy Spirit says, I took care of the rest. Don't you love that when that happens? I'm convinced that the Spirit intercedes, and there's something awesome going on between God the Spirit and God the Father that sometimes we're absolutely clueless about. But it's happening. I also think, though, sometimes when this goes on and the Spirit's involved, I think we can sense it's going on. We do know what's happening. The great preacher in the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, talked about praying in the Spirit. And he explained it like this. He said, the Holy Spirit dwells within us as our counselor and points out to us what it is that we should seek at the hands of God. We do not know why it is so, but we sometimes find our minds carried as by a strong undercurrent into a particular line of prayer for some definite purpose. A strong undercurrent that pulls us in a certain direction in prayer. Have you ever had that happen? You have? You know, you're praying, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're praying for a particular person, and then somebody else's face kind of pops into your mind like this strong undercurrent that pushed you over to that person. And you're like, whoa, wait, I'm supposed to pray for that person, not that one. So what do? Do you say, oh, I'm sorry, I got to get back to the person I originally meant to pray for? No. Maybe this is the person you're supposed to pray for, because God prompted you and moved you over there by His Spirit. And God is guiding you, and He's aligning your prayers with the will of God. And that brings a supernatural quality to your prayers. Maybe God's in control of that too. And those are the things that He's pushing you and by His Spirit prompting you to pray for. So next time you pray, would you pray with this conscious awareness that the Holy Spirit is in me and in this prayer? And maybe that will add a sense of the supernatural that maybe was never there before in your prayers. Pray with a sense of dependence on the Spirit of God and listen for those promptings. Okay, number four, ask with readiness. Ask with readiness. Look with me at James chapter 2 here for a second, starting at verse 15. Says this, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, then what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, this is not a passage that's specifically teaching us about prayer, and yet I think it actually is teaching us about prayer, because there's a principle, I think, that applies. Let me read it again and change a little word and see if you can pick it up. It could go something like this. If someone is without clothes or food, and you pray for them, but you do nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, prayer by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. Did you catch it? Prayer. Now, there are times, right, when all I can do is pray for somebody, right? All I can do is just pray, right? And there's no action that I can take. Like this past week, I prayed for my friend who was having surgery, right? I prayed for that successful surgery. When I got to the end of my prayer, I didn't rush over to the hospital, pick up a scalpel and say, "Can I help? Let me finish this off." No, I left it up to the doctor, and my role in that case was to pray. But aren't there a whole lot of other times in your life when you pray and it actually involves you somehow being the answer to your own prayer? Have you ever, right, thought about that? Right? You pray with readiness. You pray for somebody, but then you actually pray ready to become the answer to your own prayer and to spring into action. And God prompts you not just to pray, but God is prompting you to go do something and be the answer in that prayer. Like, what is God prompting you to do? Maybe you're praying the Lord's Prayer. God, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And all of a sudden, who is God prompting you to go forgive and do that? God, give us today our daily bread. Well, how is God prompting you to go and help somebody or give something to somebody or provide aid to somebody and be an answer to that prayer? God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How is God prompting you maybe to confront somebody, right, with grace and truth? Get back on the path. Come on, I'm here to help you. How is God prompting you maybe to be the answer, right, to your own prayer? I love this from a guy named Miroslav Volf. Listen, he says, there's something deeply hypocritical about praying for a problem that you are unwilling to resolve. Amen to that. As you pray, maybe you are going to be the resolution to the problem. You know, sometimes, you know, we just pray, we say, well, I prayed. Okay, God, do your thing. I prayed, I'm done, you act, God. And maybe God is saying, no, you prayed, now you act. And I'll help you, and I'll prompt you, and you can become the answer to the prayer. So let me ask you, when you ask God for something, are you ready to be part of the answer to the very thing that you're praying for? Yeah, maybe. Ask with readiness to do that. And then here's the very last one. All right, number 5, I told you it would go fast, all right? You panic for nothing. Ask for others. Man, my prayers are sometimes so self-centered. It's all about me, right? I think this prayer is about me. And I pray and pray, and I want this, and give me that, and help me with this, and so on and so forth. Pray, ask for others. So way back in the early part of the Old Testament, Samuel, the priest, makes this speech toward the end of his life to the people of Israel. And there's a line in this speech that just haunted me. I actually taught this week in my class over at Kuiper College, and it was kind of weird because I knew I was preaching on this. I thought, okay, I got to put this in the sermon. And so here it is. It got in the sermon. And so Samuel said this. He said, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. See, he recognized that God had put certain people in his life. These were his people. And Samuel realized that it was his responsibility, it was his privilege to pray for these people, and he felt that so strongly that he felt that it would be morally wrong. He felt like it would be a sin for him if he did not pray faithfully and specifically for these people. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? So let me ask you an important question here this morning. Who are your people? You know, who are your people? I know who my people are. Now, it begins first and foremost with my wife. It spreads out from there to my kids and my daughters-in-law and my grandkids. It extends out to my colleagues at Kuiper College. It extends to the folks that God has put in my path here at West End, the ministry staff, the worship team, praying for them. Some of you, and it extends to folks that God just throws in my path unexpectedly during the day. You ever have that happen? I don't think that's any accident. That is no accident, people. God has a purpose for putting folks in front of you during the day, and that's your prompt to pray specifically and faithfully for those people. But you know what I realized about my people? I realized I wasn't really doing a very good job praying for my people. Well, I prayed for some of them, you know, some of the time. Like if something big was happening, like if they're having surgery or something big in their life, oh, I'd pray for that. You know, and then after a couple of days, I just kind of forget about it and stop. And I realized I just forget a lot of stuff. And this vision from Samuel has kind of haunted me. I have the honor of praying for these people, and yet I'm dropping the ball. So here's what I suggest. Get yourself a piece of paper today, and then write on it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days. And then each day, write the names of two people. Just write them on your paper. I mean, it helps to write them down. Say, oh, I'll pray for them, I'll think of them. No, you won't. You'll forget just like I did. Write them on your little piece of paper and then pray. And then maybe God will prompt you to send a text to that person. And just nothing fancy. Just say, oh, you were prayed for today. I prayed for you today. God bless your day. I dare you to put some names on your list and start praying. There's this little known passage from Colossians. Listen to this, where Paul is just giving closing comments at the end of his letter. Listen to what he says. He says, Epaphras, who was one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always, listen, he is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and all those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Did you hear how Paul described prayer, the prayer of this guy, Epaphras? What's he doing? He's wrestling in prayer. Man, it's hard. Prayer's a fight. I mean, we got to fight to do it, and then we got to fight when we do it. And then we got to fight afterwards, right? Waiting for the answer. And we're wrestling against spiritual forces. So let me ask you, who are the people in your life that God is calling you to wrestle in prayer for? You know who they are. Put them on a list and let the wrestling begin. The most powerful thing you can do, the most loving thing you can do, is to wrestle in prayer for your people. You know, when we pray for people, it doesn't always turn out the way we think, right? The way we want and all that. But I'm telling you, stuff happens. It does. There's this mystery to prayer, right? A lot of questions in prayer. It's not just mastering some sort of mathematical principle and then we got prayer all figured out. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. But I can tell you this today confidently. When you start to pray, amazing things supernaturally happen. Lost things get found. Doors open that were not open before. Spiritually hard people all of a sudden, inexplicably, become spiritually open. Hearts change. And maybe the heart that needs to be changed the most is your heart. West End, community of God's people, pray boldly. And then as you're doing that, pray with humility, knowing that God sees a lot more than you do. He knows a lot more what's going on than you do. Pray with dependence, realizing that the Holy Spirit is in you and in your prayer and is interceding on your behalf between you and God. And pray with a sense of readiness like, hey, God, use me to let this prayer come true and be the answer to my own prayer. And then pray for others, the awesome privilege of praying for others. If some of you have been holding back, I just want to say to you today, it's time to stop holding back. Ask, and you will receive. Let's pray. Lord, we just take you at your word today that you are a father who loves his kids, who loves giving good things to your kids. You are so far above us, Lord. We don't know sometimes if we're praying what's really best for us, but we're going to keep coming and knocking and asking. God, give us the wisdom to know when it's maybe time to stop praying for something and just kind of shift the angle of our prayers. Lord, help us always to know that we're not alone in this, that the Holy Spirit is in the process. And God, I pray especially for those who have people that they care about, that they haven't prayed for as faithfully as they should. I pray, Lord, that they would have the joy of coming regularly and saying, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Lord, as we meet with you in prayer, would you change us into the kind of people who are a huge blessing in this world? In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you rise and sing with me?
Darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The victory.
So you're going to get the prayer prompts this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Doesn't mean you only pray three times a week, right? You can do more. And now you have an assignment to add to your prompts. Remember? You're going to put two people on every day, and you're going to pray for them. Receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord draw near to you and be present with you. Present with you in your praying. And may he give you peace. Amen.
May you go in his peace.